Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
What is up? Welcome back to Bleach Boys for Bleach Thousand Bubble episode 34, Baby Hold Your Hand. Now, Jose, I have to give you a special shout out. People were very worried for you in this episode. People were very worried.
My blood pressure spiked the minute I saw Baby Hold Your Hand. I was like, God, I'm going to end up in the hospital. Like, what's going to happen to me?
There was a lot of concerning Nemu in this episode that was like, oh, she's acting very weird. She doesn't normally do that.
She doesn't speak half the time. I'm like, babe, shut up. Stop. We got to change the
history. A lot of what you would say are death flags for Nemu in this episode, Jose. So people were very, very concerned. Shout out to one of our viewers. His name is T. Pinkstaff. He actually he donated $10 to go to the Jose Relief Fund for when the episode comes out. So I told them, depending on how much money we have by the time that episode comes out, we'll start with ice cream and then we'll go up to a nice restaurant from there.
It's just gonna be me with my face buried in the floor, on the ground, on the table, in the sand.
So everybody kept saying, "Man, Jose's gonna be so sad." And I told them, like, I just don't think, because we read the manga beforehand on Friday, there's just not enough minutes in the episode to get to the part that everybody's worried about. So I think you're fine, which I now know you're fine.
Not till next
week. You dodged it for this week.
Next week, man.
Well, next week I think you'll be fine also. It sounds like we're switching fights. But the week after, it could go back.
That's what I was thinking.
And then it's a rip.
They're going to hurt me so bad in 2 weeks.
I'm just saying, I like the idea that the anime could possibly just ruin Jose's Thanksgiving.
it would have. Yeah. Okay, so far I'm having a great weekend.
True. I mean, the next one doesn't come out until after Thanksgiving, so you're fine. So, but it'll be Thanksgiving, Black Friday, and then potentially D-Day.
So if it's D-Day, I'm sorry to my my physical wife, because her birthday is that week. And I'm just going to be like, I don't want to do anything.
I'm just not in the mood. And like, please, like, I need to take a second.
She'll be like, I'll put the costume on for you. I'm like, it's not the same.
It's the mental burden that really gets me here, you know?
You know what? Thank you, everybody, for your concerns. I don't know if I'll survive. I don't know.
But I need people to know that this is real. I think as soon as the name of the episode was announced, Jose hit us both up on Instagram. They said, I'm so cooked next week, boys.
I was like, oh my God, they're going to do me dirty like this.
Yeah. So let's do the usual. What did you guys think of the episode as a whole before we get into the nitty gritty of what broke down? Now, I will start with a brief little setup. This was pretty much as close as you can get to a one-for-one manga adaptation into the anime. There was not a lot of stuff that was added from outside the manga here. There was stuff that was reordered and we got in this episode, but the five chapters of the manga I read last night were identical to this episode.
We were in high school when we finished Bleach. My brain went back all the way to then and be like, oh my God, this was such a cool fight. Oh, and I was kind of happy that it was a one-for-one so far.
A lot of people were expecting I saw a lot of people. So there's two things that were going against this episode. One, and I think it kind of alludes to what something you were saying, is that like a lot of people, they haven't read this fight for a very long time. So a lot of people's memory of this Pernida Mayuri fight is the grand fight as a whole. So a lot of people were disappointed with this episode, because this very much, to me, and I think we can all agree, was a setup episode for the rest of the fight.
I get it.
Now, there is a lot of exposition that happens here. There's a lot of Mayuri talking, Kenpachi talking. There's a lot of figuring out powers, which is classic Mayuri stuff. This is all set up for all the stuff that you guys remember and you know and love from the manga. So people were a little disappointed by that. And then also the leaks. The leaks came out before this episode came out. There was a discussion on, was Pernida's whole arm going to be CG? How are they going to adapt Pernida? Which I now know, by the way, from the episode, Pernida was on.
His name is Pernida forever.
That's
Pernida was on the table for, oh man, I hope they don't do like a Komamura Bankai. And somebody leaked, it was about a 2 second clip, if that, of Pernida in the full arm form. And it was SD, which stands for standard definition, not high definition. And it looked bad. Looked really bad. So people immediately went in classic Bleach fan mode, full pessimist. Like, their day is ruined. This is going to suck. How horrible. The episode wasn't even out yet. Now, I had heard rumors of this before I even started watching the episode. I had not seen the clip before I started watching the episode. So when I sat down to finally watch it, I didn't even fucking notice it. I didn't notice it.
It wasn't a big deal. It
wasn't until my second rewatch when I went to do the notes and I had then joined social media and I seen what people were talking about that I identified the exact scene they were talking about. And I mean, yeah, I was joking about it in Discord that the scene that people were complaining about, it just looks like a video game character's idle animation. Like, he was just left standing kinda for too long, and he just started kind of vibing out because it's mid-exposition. That's how it works in a fucking anime. It was fine. It was fine. And I hate CG. It was fine.
Yeah, I didn't mind it at all. I was a little shook at first when I saw it. I'm like, oh, they went the Komamura way, but didn't bother me, to be honest.
Yeah, it's fine. With this,
are we going to see Gerard be CG?
See, that's the next thing that everybody's saying, Jose. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Everybody,
this
is the first thing that has shook in someone's confidence on Puro Films, because now they are very concerned with how they're going to adapt Gerard. Very, very concerned.
I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue.
So here's what I'm thinking of, okay? And I'm thinking back to Core 2 here. I was concerned with how they were new Komamuras. I love the style of the old school Bleach animation. I thought it was fantastic. When I go back and I grab the clips, I'm still impressed. We just released a clip talking about Shirikaku have died. Mm-hmm. And I went back and I grabbed clips from that first time Grimmjow and Azolve's Fractiona show up and start beating everybody's ass.
One of my favorites.
The animation was so good. Clean. So good.
It's
even
clean.
There's a part where it's clean.
Yeah.
There's a part where Idrat is like hitting Ikaku against the building. I'm like, oh, this is crisp. This is nice. Loved it. Okay. Komamura's Bankai and Core 2, although not my favorite, I still thought it was acceptable. It still looked good. It flowed very smoothly. They didn't do the lower the FPS thing, which a lot of CG does, which grinds my gears completely. They did the same thing here. I didn't feel like they lowered the FPS. They didn't make the frames less. It was satisfactory, but Gerard is going to have such a big part where I can see where people are now a bit concerned that this is going to be an issue.
Especially when he starts breaking buildings and stuff. Mm-hmm. I get that, but I'm just going to leave my mind open to it.
There is a little bit of a scaling where it does look like in the manga for Pernita, when he's full arm mode, he is a bit bigger, and they did scale him down a little bit in the anime. Mm-hmm. But he's still really huge. But yeah, I mean, I think that's stuff that they'll take into consideration.
Yeah, I mean, he cast a massive shadow over
he's
Ikaku and Yumichika.
Yeah.
So I guess for my money, and I'm going to say this, and I need people to understand that I really liked the episode, I thought it was a bit disappointing, not for the content of the episode, but because last episode scarred me so bad with having to look up so many different volumes of manga that I had the entire Thousand Year Blood War manga next to me while I was watching it, and I only had to open one. They added a little bit of stuff. They didn't move around. They didn't switch. And when I finished the episode, I really liked it. And I went, I brought all this in here for nothing.
Yeah. It was a decent episode. It was decent. And it's like, it's hard. It's kind of when you have like this great act and then you have to follow up the great act with a exposition episode. It's like, oh, like rough. That kind of sucks. Like, this isn't going to be anybody's favorite episode from Bleach Thousand Year Blood War. It's just not going to happen. Especially after following something like Renji versus Udi, which was so fantastic.
So good.
And even to the point where, I mean, the episode kicks off with touching base on Renji and Udyu again.
How dare they remind us?
Which is crazy. Let's flow into it for a second, because I do have something to say about that. So the episode starts when we see Renji. He's blasted. We literally see him get blasted again, and Udyu is looking down at him while he's literally bleeding out on the ground. And we actually cut over to Lillibarro here. And now I want to get you guys' opinion on this, because we cut to Lillibarro, then we cut back to Udyu, and then back to Lillibarro again as he kind of like hangs up his gun, and he's like, all right, I'm going to move out. Was he watching Udyu in that scene?
He
swap over and watch Udyu? Because, dog, we talked about that Basby and Ugrim discussion that got cut. Well, it didn't get cut, but it got moved because the whole fight's gone to that second half. And one of the things that got moved that I really liked was that discussion where Ugrim finally says he does not like Udyu. He doesn't trust Udyu. Fuck that bitch, Udyu. So I like, there's two options I like this.
Yeah.
One, that either the Schutzstaffel as a whole, they just don't fucking like Udyu and don't trust him, like, independently. Obviously, aside from Gerard, he just instantly welcomed Udyu into the gang. So we'll give Gerard the pass on that one. And then even the Lillibarro himself is like, fuck that bitch, I'm going to shoot him if he fucks around with Renji. Or, I like this one a lot too, Ugrim told Lillibarro to watch out for Udyu because he cannot leave the castle, which is something that we know from the manga is one of the reasons that he gives Basby. He can't leave the castle, so he was upset that Udyu left the castle. I like that one a lot. That if this is some sort of secret, Ugrim was like, hey, I need you to watch Udi all the time and shoot his fucking ass.
Take him out if you need to. Mm-hmm. You have me whispering in his ear going, I hate that bitch. Get him.
I mean, yeah. We'll see next episode that, like, if there is someone who is an even bigger, like, Yu-Haw fanatic than Ugrim, it is Lavaro. He's all the way in. And I could even see it as something like, it's neither. He looks over and he sees a big explosion. He goes, huh. That's neat. I didn't know a new guy could do that.
He's kind of paying respects, like, you go, Udiyu. Good job. It's like, I knew you were one of us.
I just love that now Udiyu has two people giving him the side eye.
Yeah, he's collecting the Royal Guard side eyes. It's perfect.
Just wait till Asken gives it to him.
Oh my god, I hope we get another scene of Renji talking to, not sorry, Udiyu talking to someone and just double speak. I can't say it. Now I got a guy with a sniper trained on me.
Yeah. He can't even mumble the words. He's gonna read his lips.
Which this is just another great addition and kind of like bouncing back and forth. I thought this was very well done. And then we do see Lillibarrow, not only is he also watching Udiyu, but he was also watching the final gang of the Gotei 13 kind of run off and scurry to where they need to go. And I think I screenshot, we have Shunsui, Urahara, Nanao, Shinji, Byakuya, Rukia, Momo, and Soifon are the ones that are all on screen. They're running around and going to who knows where they're going to go next. And then we go straight over to the Kenpachi and Mayuri squad, now also running, turning around. And I like the classic CG usage for the buildings again, where we're kind of seeing the first person shots of them running. And I'm like, oh, like, okay, yeah, like you can tell it's a maze. Like, you know, it really isn't. They can't fly. They can't, you know, they can't flash step up wherever they need to go. So I like it a lot. And then we get one of my favorite interactions with Kenpachi and Mayuri. And it was just so good when I read it in the manga. And I love that they kept it, once again, one for one, where Kenpachi, they run into Pernita. All right, they run right into him. And Kenpachi's like, what is that? And then Mayuri's like, dog, are you talking to yourself or is that an actual question? Because that would be absurd to ask that question knowing that neither of us have seen him before. So he's like, if it is the case that you're asking that, I'm just going to ignore you.
Mayuri cracks me up
throughout
this whole
episode. It's so good.
This whole episode is just Mayuri being persnickety about shit people say.
Yeah. And Kenpachi just doesn't even take a second. He just immediately runs in to go and attack. But the moment he jumps close to attack Pernita, Mayuri calls out to him. It's like, tells him to stop. And we see Kenpachi kind of like land and jump back really quickly. And it's like, okay, no, you know, no biggie.
No harm,
and
no Kenpachi's
like, I'm okay. And then we see blood start to kind of fall down from his arm. And he's like, I only lost an arm in that exchange, but I cracked his head open. And then we see Kenpachi's arm is like all fucking
all
twisted and
up.
Disgusting.
So I was like, do you think he cut Pernita in between like the webbing?
Yeah,
I'm
they
like,
gave him a paper cut,
that,
dog.
Oh, that gross.
He gave him a paper cut. You saw all the blood spewing out? That's a paper cut right there. That's how that goes.
This whole episode squicked me out as far as body horror goes.
Yeah. Where's our boy, Hanataro?
This fucking guy. I was watching the whole episode. I was like, I read the manga. So sometimes they adapt this stuff. Sometimes they don't. In the manga, at the end of every chapter, there are little Kubo drawings. Mm-hmm. And one of the Kubo drawings we talked about before was talking about the Valley of Screams.
Yeah.
And that was one of the little doodles where Kubo was like, if you want to learn more about the Valley of Screams, go watch the first movie. And this whole fight, I think I read about 5 chapters last night. At the end of every single one of these chapters was Hanataro just in a horrible position. Yeah. Just like having a godforsaken bad time. So I think the first one we see is Hanataro, and it's the drawing right after Mayuri stabs Kenpachi and pokes his thing in the eye to do the screaming. It's the paralysis scream, and it shows Hanataro on the ground just stunned. And it's like Hanataro did not cover his ears. And then the next one is when they're in the middle of fighting Pernita, and he's shooting his veins, and it's like it starts to come towards Ikkaku and everybody when Mayuri was doing the umbrellas and blocking them. And you see Hanataro still stunned on the ground, like holding his arms together, and it's just hitting all over him. It's like, and it says Hanataro was very lucky. That's what it says the whole time. So Hanataro is going through the trenches this whole fight, but we don't see him at all. Interesting. I feel like they made such a big deal that he was there last episode and then he ran off with them and then he's gone.
I wonder if it's going to be a thing when they're looking for him to heal Kenpachi.
I think he will be that guy. Yeah. I think he'll be the one that'll help out Kenpachi, obviously. But as it is right now, he is stunned and paralyzed on the ground somewhere.
That's hilarious.
I can tell you, actually, I'm not going to spoil what happens, but if it was Hanataro, we would lose a very cool scene.
Okay.
Forgot the best drawing, which is the nerves are in the ground and they're inching closer to Hanataro, and he's just like, I can hear them move.
Yeah. Yeah. Hanatar is going through the trenches this whole thing, dude. It's so funny. And, you know, I kind of get. So we read that interview last episode with the series composer, mm-hmm. and he was talking about how in Core 3 they're keeping a lot more of the comedy because I think that's what makes Bleach Bleach. But I think there's a fine line in the sand where some of this is like. It's kind of like Oda's when he does the chapter intros and he has little stories in the middle where, like, sometimes people can write to him and they're like, please draw this. And somebody's just doing something random. Kubo does that in reverse with the drawings at the very end of the chapter. And it's like, how would you fit that in? Would you just constantly be cutting over to Hanatoro while everything's happening, which would be funny and hilarious, but then it would break it up a little bit more. So I can see why that would have got left. Maybe we'll get some sort of a flashback showing that. Probably not, but I can see why they would left that.
It's just little, you know, end of chapter drawings. I don't think it's that important. Plus, this episode's like a nice tight 20 minutes. I think it's fine. I like the way it flowed. Shoutouts to Mayuri still audibly having the bells as his running sound effect.
Was cracking up. The little clogs. Clock, 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 clock.
Well, they make little like electronic like bing, bing, bing. Like as he's walking, I'm like, oh, that's very satisfying. That's very lovely.
I liked it.
So Pernita now is freaking out because obviously he's bleeding from his head and he starts to shoot tentacles out into the buildings nearby and begins kind of like expanding his head to become bigger and starts shooting electricity out of nowhere. And Kenny again is like, what is this thing? Like, what is it? And Mary's like, dog, are you asking a question or are you talking to yourself? And then we get the opening scene here, which is, of course, we love the opening for this season. Beautiful, lovely. Pythies, I know you saw it. Jose, did you see I retweeted somebody remade the opening in Lego?
Yes. Oh, my God. I was watching
so
it.
So good.
And then immediately I get like the next pictures while I was scrolling was just pictures of the episode as Lego.
So good. I wish I knew his username, but check out our Twitter if you want to see it. I retweeted it. It is so good. And a lot of people's, I guess they're doing like YouTube raps where they're showing like your most watched creators and stuff on YouTube. And someone tweeted at us and we were like one of their top ones that they watched something like 4,000 hours.
Let's
do you remember what it was, Pythies?
I don't know, but I retweeted that one too.
Really crazy. So thank you guys for your support. If we show up on that, feel free to either tag us on Instagram, tag us on Twitter, and I'll repost them. I love seeing them. After the opening, now we go back to Kenpachi and Miri. They are now kind of working together to kind of solve what his power is going to be, and they're analyzing what's happening. And Kenny is like, wow, its head got bigger. And Mary's like, yeah, that doesn't seem like a good form for combat. So that's strange that it was doing it. And even Mayuri comments like, it's kind of creepy. And Kenpachi's like, dog, like you're one to talk.
And he looks at him. He's like, yo, dog, come on.
And we cut over to now Ikkaku, Yumichika, and Nemu. They're all watching from around a corner. And Ikkaku is bummed that they have missed their chance to join in the fight. And Yumichika's like, dog, if we were out there, we would be chewed out. Like, we didn't miss no chance to go out. And even this is when Nemu the first time speaks up. And she's like, oh, I think so too. And Ikkaku even is like, wait a second. Like, why are you voicing your opinion? Like, you don't normally
do
that.
You don't do this.
And Nem was like, is it weird that I'm doing this? And she says she's always under orders to stay still until Mayuri calls for me, but I don't believe he'll ever feel threatened enough to call for me. And then we kind of look out towards the battle happening. And Ikkaku was like, yeah, it's Rocky too. So they're all just kind of hanging out watching. And we see Kenpachi's arm now start to twist even more while it's still on his arm. And Kenpachi, like, grabs it, like he locks his fingers together and pulls the other arm off and throws it on the ground, steps on his own arm, pulls the Zanpakuto toe out from the fingers that were holding it, and then he's back, good to go. No problem.
Thug.
Yeah, really, really cool. And Mayuri even is like, hey, that was a great move by you, because if you hadn't done that, your entire body would have started to twist. And then we see Kenpachi's arm on the ground, still twisting and just like eventually explode into blood.
Yep.
Disgusting. Really, really gross.
Made me so uncomfortable.
I was happy that I wasn't eating this episode.
This is just what the Raikage did when he got Amaterasu his arm.
Yeah, and I guess it was a bit weird. I kind of would have expected more blood to come flowing out of Kenpachi, having missed the whole ligament. I'm glad they eventually throw Nemu at it. They're like, go heal that. But I'm like, he should be bleeding out.
And I think just like squirting out.
Part of it is I'm watching Hunter x Hunter right now also, and we're at the last Hunter trial where Gon is fighting. I believe his name is Hanzo, the ninja. And he's like beating Gon's ass. And he's like telling Gon, like, give up, man. Give up. And finally comes to the point where Hanzo's like, hey, I will cut off your legs if you do not give up right now. And Gon's like, if you cut off my legs, I'm going to bleed out and I'll die and then you'll lose and you'll be out of the competition. And so I was coming to base off of that. I was like, he should be bleeding a lot right now. Like, that should be brutal. But Kenpachi's just that guy. Maybe he like tensed his muscles and like made it so he doesn't bleed.
Caused it to like, you know, coagulate and just stop.
You could argue that maybe the nerves and it twisted some of the blood veins in the arm when he was tearing it off, so it maybe got cut off or something.
Smart, Pythies. That's smart thinking. Okay, all right, I'm on board again.
Short interlude. How is your girlfriend liking Hunter x Hunter so far?
Oh, she loves it. She loves it.
Oh, she likes this one?
Yeah, fantastic. So I knew she would like this one. There was not a doubt in my mind that she would like Hunter x Hunter. It's just kind of like with Gon and Killua and Leorio. It's just cute enough with the interactions where she's going to love it. No problems. Obviously, we haven't got to the real creepy parts of Hisoka, but loves Hisoka so far. No problems with Hisoka.
Yeah, just wait till
gets definitely creepy vibes off of him. But
did she see his butt cheeks already?
No. No, we're still in the first Hunter exam.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
That's one later. Of the last things we saw was when Gon stole the badge off of Hisoka in the second to last exam. And then he came by, because Gon gets pricked by the needle and and falls asleep. And then Hisoka came by and killed that guy and gave the badge back to Gon. And she, like, loved Hisoka. She's like, aw. I was like, all right, cool. Yeah, she loved it. She loves it.
I'm so excited to hear her experience the York New City arc.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have to see how it goes. She's trying to get me to tell her who's going to get disqualified. And I can't tell you. I can't tell you.
That's a spoiler. Back to some of the best banter, because, oh, my God.
So Kenpachi asks again, like, hey, what is his power? And Mary is just, like, so fucking annoyed by these questions. He's just like, I don't know what the power is. Stay away from it. And Kenpachi is just kind of like, man, how am I supposed to cut it if I can't get closer? This is bullshit. And that's when we get the thing where Mary beckons to Nemo. Is like, Nemo, come here. Like, start wrapping up Kenpachi's arm. Get it going. And Mary begins to explain that there are actually other ways to fight things without slashing them, without getting close to them. It's no problem. And Kenpachi rebuttals immediately. Oh, sorry. That was me talking to myself. And then runs off again and charges Pranita. And this is where we see he slashes the head. Again, same thing like he did the first time. But this time it just kind of like hits right on the cloak and doesn't cut through. And then we see Kenpachi, both of his legs get cut as Kenpachi drops to his knees. And just then Kenpachi is stabbed from behind. And I love this part. Like, Kenpachi stabbed from behind. He, like, barely move. He still makes sure to turn his head,
to see who it is.
Because he's just so fucking mad. And Mayuri, like, not even missing a beat. He's like, oh, as suspected, stopping the limbs will only lead to other parts being being broken. And then Mayuri sticks his finger in his own Zanpakuto's eyes, which, by the way, I would fucking hate to be Mayuri's Zanpakuto. I would hate to be Mayuri's friend. I would hate to be Mayuri's enemy. I don't want to be near Mayuri. I don't want to be near Pranita. I don't want to be near any of these fucking guys. They fucking suck and they deserve each other.
Dude, we should have us roll a dice, right? Like, how many Schutzstaffel are there?
There. Oh, five. That's a great idea, Jose.
And then we'd put, you know, where each one of them starts, and then that's where we would be teleported to.
Google has a dice roller. Hold on, I got
it. Oh,
you.
My fucking God.
So we have all six Schutzstaffel plus Yugram. I think he's technically a member of the Schutzstaffel. We have them each set to a number. So, Jose, read the numbers that they are.
All right. Number one is Yugram.
Yep.
Number two is Udiu. Number three is Askim. Askin. Number four is Lily Barrow. Number five is Gerard. And number six is Pranita.
Perfect. So then what we're going to do, I have a D6. You can just type dice roll onto Google, and they have a way that you can roll dice. We'll each do one roll. I'll do a roll for each of us here. And whatever the number you get is the fight of the Schutzstaffel that you're going to have to go against. Now, obviously, you don't want to go against Pranita. I think that's straight up how it's going to go. Who wants to go first?
I'll do it.
Okay, Pythies, I'm going to do your roll right here.
All right, so you'll be last.
Here we go. I'm pressing the roll button for Pythies, and a number four.
Four. You take on Lily.
Okay.
I got this.
Okay.
I got this shit.
Yeah?
Yeah? Okay.
He doesn't know how to handle Excalibur.
Okay.
That's right.
No problem. You got Excalibur. Just instant bada bing, bada boom. Jose, you want to go next?
Go.
Okay. Jose's roll. Here we go. A number five, Jose.
Gerard? Jesus Christ. Oh, God.
How do you even fight that guy, Jose? He's, like, literally immortal.
I will teleport him into the dimension. Okay. And then hope that, you know, you come
by. I just feel like he would be so big. Like, how do you even... How do you even, dog?
I can't even cut him up or anything because he's just going to get even bigger.
Yeah.
I just hope that everyone arrives by the time he doesn't stomp on me.
Yeah. Okay.
Or I'm going to hit him with a, hey, Gerard, you know, in my human world, there is a hero based off of you. He's a Norse god. Mm-hmm. And then I entice him to be my friend until the guys get him. And I'm like, get him.
Okay.
Get him.
So you scumbag him, Jose.
Yeah, there's no way I can beat him.
You absolutely scumbag him. Okay. Pythies, what were you going to say?
I've been workshopping this, Jose. The way your Bankai works is you take off your glasses, and anything that is within your field of view fully in, you can suck it into your own dimension.
Oh. That's a great one because it has to be fully into the view, so that's like a good weakness to it.
So, like, he gets giant. If you get really far away, if you can get him in your sight line, you got him.
I start running like asking.
God. It's like, hold on, just stay right here. I'm going to get a book about North mythology and just fucking haul ass.
He's just like, I like this guy. All of a sudden, he's gone. He's like, damn it, I'm trusting people way too easily.
Yeah.
First, it was that Uryu guy. Now, this guy.
If there's anyone it would work on, it would be Gerard.
Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%. Right.
Maybe, you know, there's a chance there.
All right. Here we go. Let's go. Number one.
Yugram.
Dude, I feel like Yugram's the biggest dick rider in the world. That would be so hard to fight against Yugram. Like, he's just, like, lawful. Like, if they were on the good side, he's lawful good. Like, he is, like, you're never going to change him. He's that guy. He's going to follow the orders. He's like a fucking cop. What am I supposed to do there?
Mr. Gas, what do you mean?
I guess just, yeah, how long can he hold his breath, really? You know?
That's true. You
know? How long can he hold his breath?
Would it be flammable? He was in front of fire, right?
I don't remember. All I know is that, like, I don't care how good the balance is. Sam, you're immune to your own Bankai.
Well, here's what I'll do after this. I will roll one for the audience, and we'll see what the audience will have to fight for, okay?
I think we got these fights in the bag, boys.
So far, I mean, we're taking out 3 for 3 Schutzstaffel here. So it's looking pretty good. Now, the audience, I hope you guys don't get Pranita. I got to give it to you guys here. But here we go. Let's see what we're getting.
Audience.
Five.
Oh, they're with me.
There you go. Which is the classic canon way how the Gerard fights go. It's just a fucking gangbang. It's great.
Everyone just pitches in. Let's go.
There you go. You have now a whole little army to hold him off, Jose, while you go run and get distance. It's perfect.
So I'll teleport myself to the Weaves Guild, and then I'll start bringing in everybody kind of like Doctor Strange.
Or is his name? Finrear from Black Clover? What's the portal guy's name? Finroll.
Finroll. Thank you.
Finroll.
I'm headcanning it that, like, Jose, you start your thing about Thor, and then you bring in the audience to distract Gerard with, like, yeah, Thor, he's a really cool guy. I think you. And while that's happening, you just haul ass as fast as you can, and you take out some of the audience with you, but, I mean, you get Gerard. You solve the problem.
Record, guys, Pythes is okay losing about half of you guys, all right? He said, you know what? Some of you guys may die in this battle today, but that's okay.
I would have been like, everybody hide when I give the signal. What's the signal? You'll know it when you see it.
Now, here's my question. Now, since you've been workshopping how Jose's Bankai exactly works, can he pick and choose who gets absorbed by this Pythes, or is it anybody in his vision?
His Bankai is a lot like Renji's. It's not done yet.
Okay.
He will. Eventually, not only will he be able to see everything in existence and just pick it out as long as it's within his eyesight, but he'll be able to pick and choose. But right now, if you get hit, you get hit.
Damn, so I'm kind of like right the now, Freedom Gundam that can pick and choose all the missiles coming.
Absolutely.
But right now, you're more like Gluttony, where anything in your sight is going in, matter what.
Is this because of my obsession with D.Va, too? She just swallows everything.
The absorption matrix. It all comes back together. It's perfect.
It's like the tri-beam that Tien has because it's super wide. And it just hits, but you're like, oh.
That'd be hilarious, as long as I could see. What happens if I get stabbed in the eye?
Jose, I mean, you're just done, dog. Like, it's like Kakashi, man.
No, they turn into, your eyes turn into black mist while your Bankai is going on. That way people don't have to see it.
Well, here's what's really going to happen. Now I'm going to bring this back to Hunter x Hunter again. Jose's eyes are going to be so beautiful and black when he's using his Bankai that people are going to want Jose to use his Bankai and then kill him mid Bankai so that they can keep his black eyes as a trophy.
That'd be cool. Mm-hmm.
It's like Neji. As long as Neji has a blind spot.
You know, let's say I get my warrior's death, you know, something cool, and then people just take my eyes out and then end up using them.
Yeah, you'll be like Medusa's head. They'll cut your head off and they'll go around and just like beam people with
it. But it won't be as majestic. The eyes will be slightly crooked.
And when there's direct light on them, it just starts watering.
Yeah, direct light really fucks me up, guys. So, I'm sorry. You're going to have to put a glass over it.
You'll have to go into the jar and put glasses on it so it works okay.
Yeah, but like the whole point of the Bankai is so he doesn't have to wear glasses. So people would just be like, you might as well just use a Shikai.
Yeah.
I'm saying if Quincy stole your Bankai, they would have a bad time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can't see.
He's like, this fucking sucks.
Especially when they try to use their arrows. I'm like, motherfuckers, that's nothing but light.
And especially if they didn't get the training time with it, they would just suck up everybody that's in the area. You know, there'd be a chunk of the battlefield
missing.
Just
be a black hole in there.
Man, I got new fan art to draw.
So after Mayuri sticks his finger to Zanpakuto and he says fear level 4, and then Nemu, we see, hops back to Ikkaku and Yumichika's like, hey, cover your guys' ears, you're gonna be paralyzed if you don't hold, like, for 4 seconds. You gotta cover your ears for 4 seconds. And then Mayuri continues on just saying, you know, I could still use Kenpachi's physical strength, so I can't have you turning him into a meatball just yet, but the fact that the anesthetic worked also explains your power, nerves. He says you can slip your own nerves into enemies' bodies and control their every move. Mayuri continues on saying that he's heard before that Quincy's turned Reishi into power by pouring it into their own veins. So it makes sense that some can manipulate other parts of the body as well. Well, whatever the process is now that I know your power, I have nothing to fear. And just then we see Pranita. He sends his tentacles towards Mayuri, and he just throws a fucking vial of acid at them. And it's like, hey, how does that feel to lick acid with your nerves, dog? Like, I bet that feels... And, like, at this point, Pranita has, like, a baby voice, and he's just screaming.
I was just like, yeah, Pranita did not like that
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, he is screaming. And Mayuri's like, oh, well, this is great for me because I have countless drugs already that are set up to mess with the immune system or the nervous system. And he's like, this is great. This is fantastic. Mary is so happy-go-lucky this whole fight. And Mary goes to Kenpachi now. And he's like, hey, like, I'm so sorry I had to do that to you, you know. But you were able – well, first, we see Kenpachi's able to move his eye. And Kenpachi's like, damn, like, you are a monster. Like, that's crazy.
I'm going to have to work on this a little bit
yeah,
more.
Yeah, and Mary gives him credit. He's like, you know what? I got to say, not only did you help me identify the enemy's ability, but you also helped me identify an area of improvement for Ashisogi Jizo. I have nothing but gratitude for you. Just, like, starts walking back towards Pranita. And Yumichika is mad that, like, this is happening. So is Ikaku, of course. And Yumichika states – the enemy had a fascinating power, so Mayuri wanted to get rid of Kenpachi from the fucking get-go. So he let Kenpachi go in first so that way he could be out of the fight. And he turns to Nemu and is like, it's good to see your captain hasn't changed much. And Nemu, almost hesitantly, is like, I hope so, ... And Yumichika's like, the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, he kind of looks at her like, duh.
Yeah, like, what do you mean by that?
I have three thoughts on that scene that happened. First off, when you say he threw a vial of acid, I was like, that's such a Sam move.
Yeah. Pocket sand.
Just like, what would hurt the most? Fucking nerves going into acid. Like, ugh, gross. It just reminds me of Saw. That's all it goes back to.
Yeah. Or what's that movie where he James Franco got his arm stuck?
Oh,
21 days, I think? No, 26 hours?
Yeah, it's something hours. That we know the movie. That shit is fucked up. We have to cut his own arm off. Oh,
I was not a fan of that.
It was like, you're like, okay, he's getting, you know, cutting the flesh, and then he hits the nerves. I'm like, I'm going to faint.
Oh,
God. Yeah.
I was not happy about that. I'm going to let you know. Second thought was, wow, he mentioned anesthetic. Ashisogi Jizo before did not have anesthesia.
Mm, okay, so he's evolving already. It's a good sign.
That's really interesting. And I just, so you know, banter and Bleach, it's very funny. I'm thinking Renji Ichigo going at it. It's always between characters that friendly with each other, right? I love that Mayuri and Kenpachi are talking shit because you can tell they just fucking hate each other this whole episode.
Yeah.
They are annoyed that they are together. From the time they fucking get together, they are mad.
They hate each other, and you can tell they hate each other. And I think that's down to the voice acting just killing it. Also, once again, the eye poke. I'm going to be saying this a lot this episode. I did not like it.
My wife was like, what the fuck is happening? She did not see the eye poke. She just heard the scream.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and she's just like, Jesus.
Also, I can't believe Mayuri's like, yeah, I'm going to stab him again at some point.
I like the part right after also where Mayuri just continues kind of hamming this up to Pranita. And he's like, you know, you really have to pay a heavy price now for injuring one of my dear 13 Court Guard Squad captains.
I know.
And he's like, honestly, as an apology, you should offer yourself as a test subject to me. And Pranita is like full on just still tweaking out at this point. And this is when he summons these like stone spikes around him and starts to grow and breaks his cloak finally. And this is when we get the reveal that he is a giant hand. And with a eye on the palm, and Mayuri immediately is like, oh, I wasn't expecting that, and then pauses. So I see you're the Soul King's left arm. I'm like, dude, this fucking guy,
he just put it together so quickly,
so quick. And then we see Pranita not only is just like this little gimpy hand, but he goes into a full ass arm that is taller than all the buildings around them. And Ikaku asks the question of the episode in my mind: is the Soul King some kind of a giant?
Like, yeah,
why is Pranita so fucking big? Like, what? I assume maybe it has something to do with the fact that he can control nerves. Maybe he can make himself bigger. Just part of it. But the fuck?
Hasn't been busy helping Ukitake, so maybe it had time to grow on its own. Maybe it could be because it's the arm of advancement. Maybe it was Quincy training. I don't know. I just think it's weird and creepy.
Yeah, especially when you saw it like spitting out the like rest of the flesh coming
out.
Yeah,
where it's like building its arm. Yep. And what's going on? Yeah, it's crazy.
When you were talking about Mayuri going, oh, my dear friend of the 13, it just brought me back to Can't Figure On where he's going, I who has love flowing in my veins instead of blood.
Yes.
Mayuri's so full
of
shit.
So good.
Mayuri believes his own shit too.
He's perfect, though.
He's the best.
So I have a big question for you, for both of you, and I'll see who can answer it. It might be a really stupid question, and I'm just blanking on what he's referring to here. But Mayuri continues on, basically saying, you know, he hasn't met the Soul King, so he can't comment on the size of the Soul King, but the spiritual pressure is the same as the sample that he retrieved from Ukitake when he was doing his thing back in the lab. And this is the quote that comes up next that I have a question about. That strange form of an arm with a single eye also fits Urahara Kisuke's story. What story? What did I miss? What did I miss there?
Ooh, that I don't remember. Mm. Pythies?
I don't remember either.
Okay. I didn't know if that was like, I'm going to be really fucking stupid and you guys are going to be like, fucking Sam, like that's so obvious. And I'm like, because he said that when I was watching. I'm like, but I thought like Urahara didn't seem like he was really in the know with the Mimihagi stuff. And then now all of a sudden there's some story that Kisuke was telling.
I mean, maybe he knew the story of Mimihagi, but not like attached to Ukitake.
I just didn't know if there was some story that happened on screen at some point that I missed. Yeah, I have no fucking idea. No, if somebody knows in the comments, I would love to know what is Mayuri referencing here. It might be something really fucking stupid that was said like in the Mimihagi episode. Like maybe Urahara was like, oh, I kind of heard something about that. And that's what he's referring to. Let us know in the comments.
We're all going to feel really stupid. And I'm going to screenshot it and send it to us on Instagram. Here's my best guess. So later on in the episode, you will see Mayuri researching it. And that's the look he had when he was under Kisuke as the captain. So maybe Kisuke said some shit then.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. That
maybe that makes sense.
Sure, we'll go with that. Just after that, Pernita then shoots veins from his fingers. And that's when we see this thing that we talked about earlier. Mary is summoning these like green frog-looking umbrellas. Also fucking screaming when the veins are hitting him. Yep. Like, everybody is just in pain, just in intense pain. And Mary's just like hanging out, blocking the veins, coming down, no biggie. And Mary's just wondering to himself, you know, why is it that the left arm of the Soul King would be helping Yuha? Like, what is the backstory there? And Pernita then speaks, and Mary is thrilled. He's like, oh, he's like, you can
you
speak. And he's asking, like, what organ do you use to produce your voice? Like, you're so full of curiosities. This is so great. And Ikaku's like, stop being happy and run. Like, get out of there. And Mary is like, oh, come on. Like, how can me, Mayuri, be so happy? He's like, I've never had a test subject before that has exceeded every single one of my expectations. And the whole time, Mayuri, by the way, is not only using one umbrella. He's swapping umbrellas, dual-wielding umbrellas, doing his thing. And Mayuri is now dodging. And just he keeps going like, show me more. Like, show me more. Show me what we can do. And then Pernita finally chimes in. And he's like, left arm is not my name. It's Pernita. And that's when I figured out that it's pronounced Pernita.
And speaks like the Hulk.
Yes, yes. And Mayuri, again, fucking cracks me up. Because his first response was, first of all, I discovered you, not you. And then so I have the naming rights. But since it's your request, I could make a special exception. But I get to decide how to spell it. I'm like, this fucking
guy. I get
guy,
to decide how to spell
this
it.
This fucking guy is so crazy. Like, how infuriating would it be to fight Mayuri? That would be infuriating.
I mean, you saw how much he got under Xyloparo's skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The I decide the spelling has been burned into my mind for years. And I'm so happy they kept that line in.
It's such a good line.
Yeah. And even Pernita, after hearing that, he's like, I don't understand you. So he goes, I don't understand you. Not understand. Usually insult. You enemy. Insult from enemy. Insult to Quincy. Unforgivable. And then he shoots all the veins down and creates a hand out of the concrete to begin attacking Mayuri. And Mayuri, again, is just so fucking happy that this is all happening. He's like, oh my God. Like, now you can control, like, actual matter with the veins. Like, it doesn't have to be organic.
Yep. Inanimate objects.
Yes. And then he uses.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
His I describe them as the go-go grappling hooks, so he just
just said Batman grappling, yeah.
Zipping all over the place. And Mary Pernita already beats him to the tower he's going up and begins to make a hand out of the tower. And then Mary 180s, runs on top of the building, goes to another tower. There's already veins there as well, and Mary gets fucking clapped midair, which very similar to what Ichibei did to Yuha, by the
yep.
way. Very, very Boom. similar. And this is the mid-credit eye catcher part, which one of them was a fucking spoiler, by the way.
Yep.
Like, that's what I wrote. I'm so mad about it.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I saw it and I was like, that didn't happen yet.
Yeah, that's crazy. It also shows his new form. Like when the armor gets blown off after that, like that's crazy. I do have the translations for them this time though. So the one we're talking about that's spoiled what happens right after this, it's called Hirin Hyaku, and it's the Shinigami Shunpo and the Aranker Sunnito can be mentioned. By solidifying the surrounding spirit particles, it enables high speed movement of equal capability. By embedding a similar device in his boots, it allows for rapid movement by gathering the surrounding spirit particles. Nemu Karasuchi applied the mechanism of the flying Rengoku. It is a high-level walking technique of the Quincy. By riding on the flow of spirit particles created at his feet, high-speed movement is made possible. So, just further explanation of how that exactly works and how it is familiar or it is similar to Shunpo or the Aranker Sunnito and how exactly he did it and by clicking the button that's on his belt.
Absolutely, he'd be able to do it. Because, like, this is the thing. Like, he knew what it was when Uryu used it in their fight in Soul Society.
Yep.
And the next title card, of course, for Pernita Parangas. I don't know. Someone told me how to pronounce that. It's like Parangas or something like that. I'm just going to blow past it.
Add a German accent to it.
I'm bowing out on that one, dog. It says, the holy letter is C, representing the ability of the compulsory. It can infiltrate the enemy's nerves and forcibly control their movements. Pernita's holy letter was determined not from a power given by Yuha, but rather as a reflection of the ability that Pernita originally possessed. For this reason, Pernita's true identity is rumored to be the left arm of the Soul King.
I would just like to say I would love to buy one of those umbrellas as a prop.
That would be hilarious.
Doesn't Japan actually have an artist who does stuff like this? It puts faces on things?
No, I don't know.
I feel like I've seen this on like a TikTok, saying that there is a specific genre of, I guess, like appliances and stuff that you can buy that have those kind of creepy faces.
That's kind of cool.
Well, I know the Jizo are like actual things in Japan. They're like deities that look after kids.
Yeah, right?
So maybe that's what it's based off of, because that's what Ashisogi Jizo is.
Oh, okay. I didn't even put that together.
Because it's the leg-cutting deity, I think is what it means, which is why it's like a kid, but it's, you know, Mayuri fucks it up. It's because Mayuri's super crazy and evil.
Yeah.
All right. So after the eye catches, we cut back, not to Mayuri Risperneta, but to Lil Toto, Baz B, and Giselle. They're also hanging out in their little hangout rooftop spot. And Lil Toto says to Baz B, he's like, you have personal beef with Hoshwalt, don't you? Go settle it, and we'll take on Yuha. And Baz B is just like, please, I plan on killing them both. And Giselle is just happy-go-lucky. She's like, man, I would really love to see Our Majesty and Hoshwalt as zombies. And Baz be like, okay, let's go. Like, let's get a move on. Let's start getting this thing done. I said this when I was watching the episode. And now that I know that I've read, you know, portions of the Baz versus Yugram fight that we talked about last time, it would really behoove them if Baz shared his game plan with Lil Toto and Giselle, because they would just be so much better off if they all jumped Yugram.
Yep.
If they all jumped Yugram with Basby's plan, by the way, which is a great fucking plan, that he is gonna wait for when, you know, Yuha goes to sleep, he's gonna pass the powers over to Yugram, and then he's gonna kill Yugram while he has the Almighty, so the power's gone.
Yeah,
like it's gone right there, and he's killed both of them. You know, air quotes both of them. Great game plan, really, really great. Now, how great would it have been if he had Lil Toto and Giselle also helping him? Would have been fantastic. Obviously, Basby's a man, and he wouldn't do that. Also, this is going to be spoilers for the manga coming up. If you don't want spoilers, here's your asterisk. Lil Toto and Giselle get fucking blasted by Yuha. And literally, like, the panel after Yuha blasts him, he's like, okay, I'm going to go to sleep now. I'm like, dude, like, you can just wait 2 seconds. Yep. Like, that's crazy. Like, if Baz B, that was his game plan, share it with the team, man. Share it with the team.
He had to be cool.
He let them. And then also, Yuha is like, when they fight Yuha, it kind of looked like they jumped up on a balcony and, like, jumped him. He's on a balcony. You can watch him from somewhere, I'm sure. Like go somewhere else and wait for him to be asleep. Like, don't, like, these guys are crazy. They're cracked, man. Like, Lil Toto has some level of confidence in her, I guess.
She thinks she could do it. Come on, she's badass. We've read Can't Figure Your Own
Bro. I mean, she is badass, but Baz B's plan was an actual good one, and I sure wish he would have told everybody else.
This scene just reminded me of, like, if there's one actual addition I really want to see of the anime, I don't need a whole fight. I don't need an Uryu versus Renji. I just want to see Lil Toto get a shot in. Because when Sam says it cuts to them dying, I mean, it cuts to, like, you don't see them for chapters. And then they're already gone.
And I think literally the next thing is Yuha's like, all right, I'm going to sleep. Like, that's literally it.
I just want to see them talk trash and maybe shoot him once. That's all I want. 30 seconds.
I think they can make that do. I you know what, by these, I'm gonna give somebody a call after this. I think they can make that work for you. And right after we see that Mary escapes these two palms, right? And he's, you know, by the way, RIP RGB Mary, he's gone. We're never gonna see him again.
He's great.
He explodes out and he's just like, I'm not gonna explain to you how that works. Google it or something. Like, look it up.
Yeah. When he said that, I was having such a good time. I was so, like, oh,
yeah,
that's,
I mean,
so
even
funny.
Mary's like, fuck yourself. Like, it's just don't worry about it. And then this is when we see Mary is falling from the sky towards the ground with a bunch of veins. And then he presses a button and he creates the two glowing blue discs where I wonder what it could be. Who really knows? Even Pernita, though, he sees it and he's like, huh? Like, he's like, how did you, like, he's like, surprised. And Mary's like, oh, like, this looks familiar, no? And this is where you get a little bit of an explanation from Mary. He says, this is the aerial ho-ho that the Quincy's use here in Kyaku. Of course, that is the name that is used by Soken and Udi Yoshida. So it must have been, or it might have been called something else originally. But nonetheless, if you spread nerves on the ground, as long as I don't step in it, it's useless. Love, we see Udi's grandpa. Love it. And I love that also he remembers the name. I feel like Mary, even though he's a fucking bastard, he remembers the names of all his test subjects. He's like, they're all equally important to him, you know, like he has them locked in. So he's just ready to reference the knowledge anytime.
To point out that when they are telling Mayuri not to, don't hit the nerves, that is when we cut to the Hinatro segment, and you can see it in the speech bubble going, if you touched him, and he's like, it's getting closer to me. So just know, Hinatro is suffering right now.
Paralyzed on the ground, nerves about to get him.
And then this is when we see Mayuri. He pulls out like a fleshy snake slingshot and shoots it towards one of Pernita's fingers. And then he presses a button as it wraps around his finger and blows the finger off of him. And Mary, it starts writhing on the ground. And Mary splashes it with some liquid. And he's like, hey, this is a preservative. Once this battle's done, I'm going to go ahead and prepare a storage tank. And then I'll just keep you fresh until the time's over. I'm like, dude, that is crazy. But as he is giving this very, like, I beat your ass, I'm going to keep this piece for me, then we see an eye appear on the knuckle of the finger, and it shoots nerves out towards Mayuri's hand. But without missing a beat, Mayuri immediately begins to stitch up his own arm with the other arm. And he states that he has now officially reconfigured the arrangement of his nerves, muscles, and blood vessels. Don't think you can control my body so easily. But we see Mayuri's hand is still kind of bleeding. Like, it's still twitchy, fucked up. Yeah. And Mayuri's like, you know, embarrassing, really, really shoddy work. I need more practice doing one-handed surgery. It's been a while.
On himself specifically.
Yeah. And Pernita, I like this because we're starting to see the evolution of Pernita's personality. Obviously, when we first saw him, when he was just in the cloak, he had a very baby-like voice. Now he can speak, and now he's beginning to talk shit because he tells Mayuri, he's like, oh, embarrassing? Are you talking about how you just panicked? I'm like, oh, okay, all right, Pernita. Like,
if that's what you think you saw.
Yeah, and then Pernita, the finger that was on the ground then suddenly becomes a full hand in and of itself and begins to charge at Mayuri. And Mayuri just shoots another fleshy human worm bomb at it and blows the arm back. And he's like, oh, interesting. The torn limbs can become another left arm. And Pernita's like, you want to panic more? And then tears off another finger. Yep. And this is, you know, poor, poor Pernita here. He tears off the finger and gets blood in his eye. Like, man.
I thought that was hilarious. He's like, blood hurts. Eye. Oh.
Yeah, it's just so rough to be Pernita right here.
But that's such a cool image of him just ripping off his finger and then just like, here you go.
Yep. And this is where we get the flashback that we were talking about before, where Mary now has this flashback and he's thinking, he once read that the right arm of the Soul King was for stillness when the left arm controls advancement. But he says knowledge gained from books is typically, he sees it as just knowledge. And he said, I don't typically believe it until it's something that I can prove for myself. And then he comes back very happy. He's like, but to experience both in such a short time is truly terrific. I'm like, this fucking Mayuri guy. And then we now see that there's three full Pernita arms now as Mayuri grabs his Zanpakuto and goes Bankai. And Yumi Chika is the quickest on the draw here as he sees him begin to go Bankai. And he's like, we need to grab Kenpachi. Like, he's going to use poison to kill everybody. We have to get Kenpachi out of there. And Mayuri's like, poison? I would never do something so wasteful as that. Like, that is not me. I wouldn't do that. Don't worry about that. But Hikaku and Yumi Chika already have Kenpachi. They're already running away with him, which is probably for the best anyways. You don't want Kenpachi to be sitting there paralyzed in the middle of the battlefield. And then we see a big...
disgusting.
Let's go disgusting. Purple fetus come out of it, and then it grows into a pregnant baby thing. And he's like, come, you are finally due. Kunjiki Ashisogi Jizo, Matai Fukuin Shotai, an altered Bankai. And Mary begins to explain that this is a variant that he created that has an ability to create a new Ashisogi Jizo based off of the combat data that he feeds it. Which, quick pause, incredible. That's really
insane,
fucking useful.
Right?
It's really
broken.
Good Bankai. And this is actually something, I forget which core it was in. Maybe I think it was after the first invasion happened. We saw a scene where they took a sneak peek into Mayuri's lab and he was actually toying with like this womb.
Yep.
And that's where obviously this eventually comes to pay off now. And I do like also there's this fat, like big ass purple pregnant baby. And Mary was still a beautiful guy because he gave it a nice back pillow. It's got a nice little headrest.
Got a little like,
you know, Mary's
made him comfortable.
He's a gentleman, man. He could have made him lay on the ground, but Mary got him some padding. It was good.
So I actually looked up the translation because I needed to know. Matai Fukukin Shotai is a demonic recumbent womb.
Damn, that's
there
sick.
You go.
That's really sick.
And then I had to look up what the word recumbent means. Because I was like, what is this? It means repose, resting, or leaning flat, lying down.
Which works out with laying on the pillows,
yep.
Baby. It's yep. Perfect.
Yeah, one of those reclining chairs.
The big, disgusting baby is laying down.
Okay. And well, this big, disgusting purple baby that we're talking about, we now see that he gives birth C-section style as his stomach just rips open. And then we see the classic yellow baby that we've known and we loved since Mary Ivanka was first shown. And it falls to the ground. And by the way, immediately starts fucking screaming.
Yep.
And Mary begins to explain that Ashisogi Jizo, this one has all of its nerves on the outside of its body. So that means it is experiencing excruciating pain by touching the air or ground. And the baby is having a fucking meltdown, obviously. Like, that's some crazy shit. And Mayer continues. He's like, that's not the important part. What's important is that the nerves on the exterior are separated into 70,000 nerve layers. So even if you fired your nerves at it, you'd only end up peeling a layer off, which, of course, Pranita attempts. And we see he, like, touches his cheek, and the layer immediately falls off. And just then, the baby, now having been touched by the nerves, just starts fucking bum-rushing, crawling towards Pranita. It's like, bah, 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 and just begins to eat the fucking arms. It just cracked me up watching
that.
I like
that. When he just starts picking them up.
Yes. Like, yum, yum. He just starts fucking munching on it. And Pranita's like screaming. Yep. Like, just like getting fucking mauled. And Mary's like, what's the matter? It's okay to resist. Like, that is if you could fire your nerve 70,000 times before you get eaten. And then the baby begins to devour them. We cut over to Nemu for a second. And Nemu's looking on very concerned.
Very.
You know, she knows something that we don't know, I guess. And then the baby finally sits out, like, lets a little sigh having devoured all of them. And Mary just begins laughing maniacally. And that's the end of the episode.
Great episode.
Great episode.
Very straightforward, though.
Yes.
Gross episode.
I gotta say, now, I don't want to be one of those guys. I think this particular section, I liked it better in the manga. I think the manga just had more detailed art and had a lot of blood going on. I still think it was an incredible adaptation. I mean, it's a one-for-one shot. But when I was reading it in the manga, I was much more grossed out than seeing it here because the artwork from Kubo is crazy. Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, he did what? He said he wanted to try, what is it, like a scary style of anime when he did Asnod?
Well, one of the things that is in discussion for why the CG maybe was not the best here is that historically animating hands is very hard. And we have an enemy that this is a hand.
That is it.
And not only is there one hand, there's two hands, which is normal, but there's also fucking three hands. So it's probably an animator's fucking nightmare to be
animating.
They should
have brought in
part.
The guy who does Kazuma's hand when he's doing the little thingy.
Yes. So one of the things that Kubo commented on is actually he loved drawing Pranita because it was good practice. He was like, yeah, this is great. Like, I love drawing Pranita. Like, I think at one point he said he didn't want Pranita to lose because he had such a great time drawing him. I can see where a lot of that would come from. Obviously, spoilers once again, this fight is not over, as we know. Like, Jose, I'll pass it to you first. Do we like that ended on a almost like a victory for Mayuri?
Kind of, yes. Actually, I think it's going to be really cool when they cut back to him. It's either going to be very early on in the next episode or we're going to go straight into the other fight.
I would say, and then I'll pass this over to Pythes for an opinion, I would say that judging on this episode, it will probably be a full episode of Shunsui versus the Libaro, and then they will either then keep going to maybe, you know, Basby versus Ugrim and then do the full cycle again, or then it will cut back and they'll finish those two fights. Pythes, what do you think?
I thought we were going to end with the Schutzstaffel sort of being semi-victorious in their battles before coming back to it next season.
Mm-hmm.
My thought is now it is going to appear that the Soul Reapers are victorious and we'll go to every fight and then we'll probably get all of like Basby, Jugrim, and that'll be the end of the season.
Okay.
Well, that lines up with something we were talking about before. What would be the perfect way to end the season then if you think we're not going to get the finish of these fights, right? That's what you're saying, Pythes?
I think we will probably maybe get the finish of Jugrim, but I don't, these fights go on for so long.
We have like 4 episodes left, right?
So this is, I actually counted when on stream. This is episode 8. Okay. So depending on what episode you think it's going to go to, right? We either have 9, 10, 11, 12. We would be 4. 5 would be 13. If we think it's getting 14, it would be 6.
We could finish this fight and Shunsui's fight comfortably. And then maybe we do half of the Jugrim Basby fight.
So I was thinking, if there's a world, I just want to run with what you were saying for a second. Let's say there is a world where they don't finish these fights, right? Let's say maybe they do. They start. This one's the last we see of Nemu and all of them for this season, which would be heartbreaking for you, Jose.
I'd be
and
okay. She'd get to live a little bit longer.
Get to live one more season. Yeah. Correct. And then we get to go over to Shunsui versus Lilibara, which, you know, we're going to get a certain amount of that fight just for the fact that we see in and out of Zanpakuto. You know, there's going to be a certain amount of that fight that's going to be shown. They are putting a very heavy emphasis on Yugen versus Basby. So I think that's at least going to be two episodes, because we have a flashback that's going to happen in the middle of that. So I think they'll at least give two episodes to that fight. So what would be really good is if we get the starts to Shunsui versus Lilibara, and let's say Shunsui versus Lilibara ends with Hiraku's Bankai, where you kind of think he won. You know, he does the Bankai, Shunsui does it, it wraps. It's like, cool, awesome, love that.
But that's after Nanao Zanpakuto, so you have to at least get to that.
Well, I think we're seeing Nanao Zanpakuto. I don't know if necessarily next episode, but I think we're for sure, well, we know we see it because of the opening, right? We're going to see it. I think they can wrap it up in a way, if that's how they're going to go about it, where maybe the last episode we actually end on a negative note, like we were talking about how we wanted to look like maybe the Soul Reaper is at a losing disposition, where everybody then breaks free and we notice that the fight's not over. But we've already seen the Bankais from all these people. We've already seen, let's stop it in now, Zanpakuto even. Let's wind it back. But we've seen, like, all these aces in the sleeves for these people. You know, Mayuri reveals his new Bankai. Now Zanpakuto comes out. We see Basby versus Yugen, and Basby loses. And then we see the Stern Ridge on top.
Yep. Okay, I could see that.
That could be good.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, well, what do we do for next core?
I know, but I think that's the question. I think that it's going to be asked no matter what, where this starts, right? No matter what. The question is going to be, what are they going to do for 13 episodes of the next core?
You could do all Gerard for episode, two episodes, maybe two and a half episodes, three if you really stretch it.
Well, and I think also we're forgetting that there should be Asken and Yodowichi scenes that should be happening. If I recall correctly, there was the Yodowichi voice actor talked about how she had recorded some of those lines already. So that
fight's going to last for a while.
That is a long fight. I remember that from the manga, that I felt like reading the manga back in the day. Yeah. I felt like the Asken fight went on for fucking ever.
So that they could do that, and I guess they're going to extend the Yuha Ichigo fights, but I think it'd be kind of neat to see, like, Ishin and Ryuken, and, like, they're about to step into a portal to go to the palace, and you see Totsuki and the squad just like, hey, make sure Ichigo's okay.
Okay, I would like that. Right. That'd that's be nice. Up. That'd be really nice.
Every episode we talk about where the season could end, and every episode I'm less sure.
Because we get more and more of a hint, right? So what I was thinking beforehand, so let me wrap the end poem here, because we obviously know where it's going off of the end poem. Worth noting that in the ending episode, the ending credits, now Pranita is in hand form in the ending credits, which is cool. I like that they updated that. The end poem is from Shunsui, and it says, "Pine needles scatter over a glistening stage in bright red, shun from the heavens. Come now to the depths of hell." And we know Bleach number 35 is going to be Don't Chase a Shadow.
Yup.
So
excited.
With that being said, we know it's going to be Shunsui versus Lilibara next episode. So I was thinking in my mind, right, if we are doing six episodes, let's say we're going to 14, right? Mm-hmm. We're going 14 episodes. We're going to get six more episodes after this. I'm thinking we have one more for Mayuri versus Pranita. We have two at least for Shunsui versus Lilibara and obviously the Nanao stuff. I would give two more episodes to Yugen versus Basby, and then an episode worth of content with probably Asken related stuff, and then some sort of a wrap.
That now, sounds very plausible. Like, I think that's the way it would go, because they're gonna show Nemu fighting Pranita.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Pranita. they got to.
Yeah,
we're also completely forgetting when the big fight with Gerard happens, because he fights a bunch of people before he gets to the three piece combo. So I'm just, when does that start? Is that start soon? Is that later? I got to read the manga to catch up.
Yeah, it's hard to say. And obviously, with them moving stuff around now, it's very, very hard to know when all this stuff is going to happen.
I kind of like it. It's kind of a almost like a guessing game, where it keeps us like coming back to like when we were kids.
So I think it's going to be very hard. I'm going to withhold judgment. It's going to be very hard to tell if splitting up the fights was the right decision until the season is done. So I truly believe that as it is right now. Would you have liked, Jose, I pitch this question to you, would you have liked to have finished the Mayuri fight next episode?
I just ripped the Band-Aid off, man.
See, so that's what I may be saying. Would it have flowed better if maybe we did finish that fight in this one? Or is it going to go better? We have to see the finished project, or the product, you know, with finished product. We got to see the whole thing. Will it go better having jumped around and kind of setting up all these fights and getting all the conclusions at the same time? Would that work better? Or would we have rather have seen, because obviously the way that we set it up right now, Nemu's suspicious as hell, looking at constantly and saying weird stuff. So would it have been better to just wrap that up and then move on? We won't know until the end, But I'm very interested to see how the finished product comes out.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. Regardless, I'll probably binge watch it to see if it feels better that way.
Well, binge watch the dub. That's what you should do. Go back and binge watch it, because the first three episodes of the dub are out now on Hulu, I believe.
Four is out now. And I watched the first two episodes in dub. People are right. Yuha's English voice actor is killing it.
Oh, nice. Cool. Love that.
His fight with Ichigo is so much better in dubbed. I loved it.
So this episode, we got Pernita. We got the Soul King's Arm. I told there is a member of our Discord. His name is Zero. I told him I would ask this question. Now, this might be the stupidest question, but we've seen the Soul King's Arm. We've seen both of them. We've seen the Soul King's Heart. Where is the Soul King's Legs, guys? Where is the Soul King's Legs?
They were still attached to his body.
Like, I mean, fuck. I told him I would ask this question, but like, he really wants me to get to the hard-hitting question. Where is the Soul King's Balls? That's really what he wants me to get to eventually. That leads from one spot to the other. But
okay, I have answers for both of those.
All right.
Okay, so for the Soul King's balls, they were taken by Turbo Granny. So that's number
Turbo
one.
Turbo Granny took them?
Okay.
Oh, she turned
them. That's number one. And the Soul King's legs are what allow Asken to evade Grimmjow so easily.
No wonder he was running
there
so fast.
There you go. All right, solved. Done and done.
So I like to look at our videos like midweek or so, like maybe Thursday or Friday.
Sure.
And I love to read the comments. They crack me up sometimes.
They're so good.
This one was my favorite, though. LiveVolk5622 goes, I love how Sam is dressed like a football commentator in this one.
Okay, I gotta tell you something. One of my guys at work, his name is William. He's like my boy. Like, I fucking love this guy. Shout out to William. He watches our videos, and he asked me one time, like, it's a pretty open secret that I do YouTube videos. Some people know, some people don't. Some people don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. He had asked me one day, he's like, Sam, like, I know you do this. I've been waiting for you to pop up my thing. I think he was gonna be on vacation for like 2 weeks. He was like, what is your channel name? Like, tell me. Like, so I'm like, sure. Like, he's my fucking guy. I told him what it was, and he watched the last one. He's like, Sam, I gotta tell you, you know, I know sometimes you record these like right after work when you get home, and like that's when you do a lot of it, and that's why you have the suit on. But he's like, you look like the guy with that suit. Like, you look like the professional. Like, you're the knowledge guy, you know. Yeah. I'm like, oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I told my fiance, I saw the suit on, and she was like, you could change. I'm like, I look fucking good in this suit. Okay.
I saw Sam walking in the suit. I'm like, okay, he looks cool.
I look fucking good. All right. Like, there's no reason to change, man. And it was the Renji episode. I was wearing red. It was a perfect
that's
setup.
That's so true.
Shout outs to YouTube comments, because they are so good, dude.
They're hilarious. You know what? I'll make it a weekly thing to just go through and pick out one or two.
Now, I'm going to throw you into the best here, Pythies. Right. Pythies messaged me on Instagram that some of the comments are starting to annoy him.
Dude, they're getting me so bad.
Why?
Okay. There's backstory to this. Because I had told Pythies before, we had started uploading some of the YouTube videos. I think it was when we were doing the facts. And some of the comments... We had talked about this before. Some of them were fucking mean, like really mean. And, you know, like, whatever. You know, you're talking about a series. People get upset. They're going to go straight for the fucking jugular. It's just how it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I had told Pisces before, and Pisces is always, and he said it to you. He said it to me. Pisces, I was like, Doc, just laugh at him. They're funny. And I'm like, but they're not funny. Like, some of them are like straight up fucking mean. And it's like, I love the ones where they're funny. Like, if someone wants to shit on me and it's funny, fucking love it. Someone in Discord the other day was saying that if they were fighting Lilibaro, they would just bring me so they could reflect the shit off my head. So hilarious. Okay. Like great.
Oh,
love
my
that.
God.
Some of them are just fucking mean. And so Pythies always tell me, like, don't let it bother you. Don't let it bother you. So, like, I try, you know, whatever. I move on. Pythies messaged me out of the blue the other day. He's like, these comments.
I'm so
like,
pissy.
He was like, can you add some sort of disclaimer? Like, for all of the shorts going forward, all of the TikTok videos, all of the Instagram reels, can you please add a disclaimer that we have read the fucking manga?
Yeah, because everyone thinks we haven't read it.
Mm-hmm. That's the only comment that gets me. People that say Pisces is a fucking idiot, yeah, whatever, that doesn't get me. But when I see someone that goes, this guy needs to read the manga, that gets me. I was so I used normal captions, but if I caps lock could not express how mad I was.
Guys, Pythies reads this as often as he can. He's what you told me that you took what how many of the books with you on vacation this last month?
I didn't take the Blood War, but I took like the entire Fate Karakura Town arc with me to read while I was on vacation.
Yeah, see, I've read it once, and I have two versions of the Bleach manga. I have like the one that we have here sealed, and then I have the one that was very nicely gifted to me from our friend who went to Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Every now and then I crack the one that I got from Japan, just because I'm so curious if there's any like little differences. But it's just nice to have them.
Meanwhile, I only read the manga week to week to week, right before the episode comes out. That's probably about when I get my fix. And I like to keep it that way. So that way I don't know too much about what's going on. So I am in the same boat as Jose, where typically I'm working off of my memory from back when we were in high school.
It's not until
the Friday before where I am now knowledgeable on the content that is going to be in there. That is how that works for me. Pythes is the knowledge guy. Cracked me up that Pythes mentioned me that. Fucking cracked me up. I was like, oh.
You were tilted, man. It's okay.
Oh, yeah. I was. I know. You know what? I was salty. I was salt as fuck.
Okay. Back to the episode. Wind it back. Reel it back in. Now, this episode was a very good, we talked about the opening, a very good one-to-one adaptation of the manga. Now, I'm going to pitch this to you first, Pythes.
Right.
With this being a one-to-one adaptation, as compared to a lot of the episodes that we've gotten of Core 3 so far, there was close to zero new content added in this. And I would say I would give my personal ranking. I said this on Discord. I'll say it now. I would give this a high 6, a low 7. And I want to preface that I don't rate things like it's a school rating. So it's not like I just gave it a D, okay? 5 to me is a mediocre episode of anime, and then it goes up from there, you know? So this is like a decent episode of anime. It was solid. It was okay. Are we happy that this was a one-to-one adaptation, or do you think it could have been better if they added more things to it, Pythes?
I think with the nuances of how Mayuri was talking, what was happening, I think it is fine the way it is, because we know the next episode and the next episode and the next episode are just going to pop off.
Jose?
Yeah, that's my thoughts exactly. I'm like, you get a lot of the little banter. The only thing that would have been kind of hilarious to see would be Hanatoro, but I mean, you know.
Thank you, Jose. Thank you.
Yeah.
I love him. He's just, he cracks me up. And then the way you guys told me what he's actually going through, I'm like, oh my God.
Jose, I will send you those drawings on Instagram.
But just like even with Pernita just freaking out, then getting big, and then seeing his evolution, like Sam said, to from baby talk all the way to like starting to insult Mayuri, I was like, I think it was fine.
And if I recall, Pythes, maybe you can correct me, I think he starts mimicking their voices coming up pretty soon in the fight. Like, he starts full on taunting them.
He does. It's so weird.
We see him. We see him advance. You know, yeah, like that advance, is the whole thing. Exactly. We see him become like this fucking thing. You know,
I'm glad that they included that. Even when I was reading it all those years ago, I'm like, huh, he was kind of childish and then kind of full on turns into a big kid at the end.
Now, let me hit you with this. Maybe this guy will change your opinion for nothing extra being added. This was Bleach's 400th episode. On the mark, 400th episode.
Oh, that's right.
We did not get any special celebration for it hitting 400 episodes. Obviously, 400 is not really like a special number per se, but it's still broke into the 400 episode club, and there was not even acknowledgement of it happening. So,
what better to do for a 400th episode than stick exactly to the source material?
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, it honors Kubo. Isn't that the most important person that we could really honor today? Beautiful.
We do love Kubo.
Side note, have you seen his fashion line?
Oh, yeah. Jose, the full thing is out. Now, there's one piece in particular that I want, and there's a reason for it. It's the most basic fucking answer that I could give. I want Ichigo sweatshirt.
It's cool, right?
It's got the classic, like, Bleach skull on it.
Yep, right here.
I fucking love that piece. The rest of them, I said this before when we were talking about the Byakuya and the Toshiro set that came out. They don't scream Bleach to me. I'm not buying things. You know, this is going to be the most disgusting weeb answer that I could give. I don't buy things for fashion. Okay. I want to have like some sort of a acknowledgement that like someone will see me with that. Hey, cool shirt.
It's happened to you when we went to Disneyland, remember? Yeah. Someone's like, hey, cool Bleach shirt, man.
Yeah. That's what I want, and I like when it is a bit more low key. Like, this still looks like it is a nice fucking sweatshirt, but it has a cool logo on the front of it where you're still gonna look really cool wearing it. I want it. I want it, I want it, I want it. Now, that being said, I think all the pieces are somewhere around the lines of either mid-100 to higher than that.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Okay, I got to also say something. I was going to wait till I got it and show you guys. I bought the Bleach Puma shoes.
You got them?
I bought the Bleach Puma
shoes. Are they here?
They're not here. Oh. They're not here yet.
Wait, which one did you buy? The Grimmjow or the Ichigo? Oh, you bought
both of
them?
Both of them, yep. I have both of them. Now, I bought them, and then you have to buy them through a proxy service.
Uh-huh.
The proxy service has received both. Now, it's going to be a real question mark if this decides to fit my feet. I did the metrics. They said 33.5 or something like that. Converts to about 13 in men's. By the way, I have huge feet, by the way, guys. Bought that
same
one. They got the Grimmjow one in. And this service is crazy. I've never used this before. It's called like World Shopping or something like that. They opened it, checked the shoe, saw that there was yellow residue on the side of one of the Grimmjow shoes, emailed me and was like, hey, just letting you know, received your shoe. You can see a little bit of the yellow glue on the bottom that peeks out. He's like, do you want us to still ship it? I'm like, that is crazy customer
that
service.
Is fantastic. That is.
So I emailed him back and I was like, is there a way that I can like exchange it? Like that we can reach out to them and that, because I would prefer obviously one that doesn't have the fucking glue coming off of it already. And they're like, yeah, we'll reach out to them and see what we can do.
Let's go.
So I don't have it yet. It might be a little bit longer, but I did buy both of them. And
that's
I will have both the Ichigo. That being said, which is why I brought that up, I will be buying that fucking Ichigo sweatshirt. I will
there
be
there you go.
But my problem, fucking Japanese clothing never fits me. Never fits
you. I feel like you'd be like a 3XL.
It just doesn't it doesn't fit me no matter what I do. And it goes back. This is a classic story. If you guys are new here, we went to a Radwimps concert one time, and they are the people that do the soundtracks for Your Name, Suzume, Weathering With You, the Makoto Shinkai films. They're also like a really big band. So we saw them at the YouTube Theater, and we went up and I wanted to buy merch. I bought like one of everything because I fucking love Radwimps.
Dude, he
love
bought them so much.
And they had shirts. And one of the questions that I wanted to ask was, is it Japanese sizes because they are a Japanese band from Japan, or is it American sizes? Because I need to know, because I will not fit in the Japanese shirts. It's not going to happen. My, she was my girlfriend at the time. She was mortified. She did not want to be present when I asked that question.
She dodged and went over there. She's like, Sam's making a big deal over
there.
She
wanted to be like 3 football fields away from me when I asked that question, when really it's not that big of a deal, because you can look at me walking up, see, I'm a fucking giant, and there's obviously a reason why I'm asking that question. So I just walked up. I was like, hey, like, quick question before I buy anything. Like, are they American sizes or the Japanese? I'm like, oh, it's American sizes. I was like, cool. Like, that's about as much the explanation went, but my fiance was fucking mortified. But I have to ask that question every time, because if anything, like, looks like it's coming from Japan, if it is closed, like, I'm just out instantly. Like, we went to Uniqlo when we were in Japan. Done. Can't even do it.
Really?
No. Waste of time for me to even look at clothes
there. I only saw a couple of them on Twitter. Is it like the full clothing line from like all the characters in the in that opening?
It's not like all of them. All of them.
It is. Is Shuhei's tracksuit there?
I didn't see
it. I don't think he is one of them.
I'm so upset at that. Actually, legit, I would buy and wear that. It looks so comfortable. So the first note I wrote in this was why they got to do Renji like this.
I know.
Right away, I'm like, my boy.
I started and literally did like the TV Tokyo, like, bing, and then it went straight in that. I was like, oh, like, okay, all right.
Damn, okay.
Yeah, that's how you know they're just jumping right into it.
So mad about it.
So speaking of Renji, I don't know if you guys have much to talk about for the remaining episode. Anything else you guys want to touch on really quick?
I got you right. Nemo on screen, okay? Right at the 52-second mark, at a minute and 25, out of 4 minutes and 22, all the way to 4:43 with voice lines, 5:17, 6:07, 6:16, 6:30, 7:28, 9:44, 10:34, 11:18, and finally at 22:09.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You guys can all jot that down and view the episode in its short form Nemu cut. This is the Jose Nemu cut. You'll get this after the season.
I don't
done.
Know what you guys saw. I just saw Nemu there the whole time.
Now, here's the thing. Jose has done this like 3 episodes in a row. I don't know why it still gets me every time. So there is one not obvious addition to the anime that they didn't have in the manga.
Okay. What is it?
Mayuri's neat slingshot arm where he throws the bomb. In the manga, he just like throws it with his hand. That's it.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, that's a cool addition.
Okay. Well, before we move on, we do have our Patreon captains meeting that we're going to head to right after this. This is that is the exclusive 15 extra minutes of Bleach Boys you get every single week exclusively on our Patreon, patreon.com/weebsguild. If you guys want to join, we appreciate any level of support that you guys can give us. Just simply watching it means a lot to us. If you guys want to support us a little bit extra, that is the best way to get the most bang for your buck. There are people that like to donate, and there are people that like to support us on Patreon. So you get some extra content. You get all of the unedited reactions, you get Bleach Boys captains meetings, you get Bleach Boys first. I upload it there first before it even hits YouTube. There's a lot of cool stuff, and there's a lot of extra content. One of the things that I just uploaded, actually, I don't think we've ever talked about it on the podcast, I officially found the top 10 endings that we did.
Yeah,
that is up on Patreon officially.
That
up there,
classic.
Good to go. You can hear a much younger Sam and Jose talking, and I now watching it with my new editing skills, I can see exactly why it got copyright striked, but that is up there on Patreon as well. With that, I want to take this as a moment as well to thank our Patreon captain level members, which is still our boy PV.
PV.
They are the top level. They support us the most. We appreciate you very, very much. Once again, if you guys want to do that, all the links for it will be in the description. And then I want to give a special shout out as well to our Discord. Join our Discord. It has been such a good time in the Discord recently. We have been getting so many new people joining. Please don't hesitate to talk in any of the chats. Everybody is super friendly. Asterisk for the most part. So
for the most part,
join up. feel free to tag me. I'm in there all the time. Sometimes I can't look when I'm at work because I'm actually busy. So if I all of a sudden disappear for 8 hours, just know I'm at work. But everybody in there has been having such a good time. I've been enjoying talking Bleach in there. There's a lot of cool. There's an art channel now that gets posted. Ooh. Isane is constantly being posted in there for Pythies.
Yeah.
Just everybody knows.
You can see some of my art.
There you go. So definitely fantastic. Join our Discord. It's a great time. We have a great community. Everything you would want to follow us on, link is in the description down below. Now, we were talking about Renji. I was going to pivot here. We'll give a little last little thing here. Maybe you guys knew this. I didn't know this. Did you guys know that the Japanese voice actor of Renji originally auditioned to be Ichigo?
Oh, I saw this on Twitter. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So he originally auditioned to be Ichigo, and then he was eventually selected to be Renji. There's a full interview that came out with the Japanese voice actor of Renji talking about the previous episode and things he wants to talk to the overseas fans of Bleach, so on and so forth. One of the things that he said is, please tell us how you first encountered Bleach. And he says that when he was a kid, he read Weekly Shonen Jump every week without fail from when I was in elementary school until now. So my first encounter with Bleach was the first chapter of the series published in Jump. When I read the first chapter of Bleach, I remember thinking it has a slightly different mood compared to the previous work serialized in Jump, and it's very interesting. Also, the episode in which Renji appeared was very memorable from when I was reading it back then, and I thought, I want to play the role of Renji. However, when it was decided that Bleach would be made into an anime, I heard about the audition. Renji was actually not the audition target. If I remember correctly, I think it was only the character from the present world group and a few others. Still, I wanted to be involved with Bleach, so I chose the role of Ichigo from the characters that were auditioned, and I auditioned for Ichigo.
That's super cool.
That's neat.
So there is a lot more that he talks about on like favorite character of Bleach, how he eventually got the role of Renji, what's his favorite episode from the whole series. We're going to go much deeper into this in the Bleach Boys Captain's meeting following this. So thank you guys so much for watching this week's Bleach Boys. We hope you guys had a great time. Of course, I would love to hear what your rating for this episode was in the comments, as well as if you could tell me what the fuck Urahara's story was. Bonus points if you could figure out what that was. With that, you guys, thank you so much. We will see you guys next week for another Bleach Boys, and it will be Shunsui versus Lilibaro. It'll be very, very exciting. Make sure you guys leave a like and subscribe. With that, goodbye, everybody. Have a great one.
Bye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.